And my very special guest is Marama Davidson. Marama, you don't have a website or anything, do you?
Oh, I do. We have the Te Wharepura Hall blog page, and I'm on daily blog as well, but, you know, those are relatively hard to find. But my Facebook page is where it's all at the moment.
Ironically, considering what just happened to me today.
Yeah. But Facebook Marama Davidson is, you know, the centre of the universe. Is where you can find everything and links to everything else.
Yeah, and we were talking about that over the break, about how the connections that we've been making, all the protests you and I have been going to, all of the public meetings you and I have been going to, even a play that you
went to a play, and it's all from Facebook. And so, you know, we were talking about social media actually, though, has been an important tool for progressive groups, you know, whether you want to call them left-wing groups, but it has been an important tool because it's accessible. Because it gives people a voice who previously wouldn't have a voice. Any sort of profile that I have and which got me into, you know, being asked to stand as a candidate for a political party is purely because of a profile I've built up on social media. So I think we need to acknowledge that it's an important tool for the revolution, but we just need to manage it. We personally need to manage it so that we're not sucked into the Facebook vortex thinking that that's all that there is to life.
Oh, we've got all our eggs in one basket at this point. Eh? I mean, think about it. A lot of people have tried to compete with Facebook social media.
Yeah.
Facebook downed MySpace. Yep. Facebook downed
Bebo.
Facebook destroyed everything.
Yeah.
Okay. And now, any of the alternatives that exist have like one millionth the amount of people on them.
I mean, LinkedIn is growing a little and seems to be getting a niche, getting into creating its niche for people who are a little sick of the OTT of Facebook. But you're right. I think there's a long way to go before any of the other social spaces can catch up to where Facebook has grown.
I mean, they've really nailed down an incredible system for attracting people, connecting people, and making it so user-friendly that even the elderly can use it. It's that simple.
My father is on Facebook. You know, there's four generations of us on Facebook in my family, so that's indicative of how accessible it actually is. You know, and again, the important thing about any social media is that, say you go to a protest, any one single action towards progress in our world, the lifespan of that can be expanded and has a longer lifespan because of social media. We can post it on YouTube, we can put up photos. Suddenly one single event turns into days and weeks of ongoing discussion.
Yeah, I do believe that this is one of the strengths of it. And when we think about, when we talk about social media, when we talk about the internet, blogs, YouTube videos, that kind of thing, essentially we're just doing what the media should have been doing all along, is giving the people a platform and a voice to say the truth.
We're doing what the mainstream media can't do because we don't have the corporate and political restrictions that they have. We have a freedom and independence that mainstream media don't have, and we certainly are not bound to time restrictions. You know, I can find out on Facebook before any news announcement on television or radio that something has happened. I'll find out the second something has happened where, you know, I don't know how much more life is left for the 6 o'clock news, because by 6 o'clock we know already. We know what's happened in the world.
Well, obviously, because they broadcasted it on the morning news and the afternoon news and the pre-6 o'clock news, and will also broadcast the exact same thing on Nightline.
Meanwhile, Twitter has exploded with, you know, 5 million tweets about it already, and Facebook comments and posts have erupted as well. So, you know,
not to mention the news puts their spin on everything.
Yeah.
So if you get the raw information, you've got a much better chance of working out what's actually going on. I mean, I've got these two basic assumptions. If you want to be correct about something, or at least close enough to be correct without really knowing anything, you just operate under these two basic assumptions. If it's coming from a mainstream official source, probably the opposite of everything that they say is the case. And if you can't make it at home by yourself in your kitchen, it's probably some kind of soft-kill bioweapon.
And also, it's not just mainstream news media that has been hammered by this. But if we look at, and this might be sad, but publications, including books, literature, fiction and non-fiction. So I now, trying to get informed about any issue that comes up, I'll go to the internet, I'll look at blogs, I'll look at articles and journals, I'll look at Facebook and comments from people who I think are credible and relevant. You know, I may not go to the library, because that information, for me to get to the bottom of an issue, to a place where I feel I can advocate about any issue, is all available on the internet.
Well, it's gotten the world to our fingertips, and as a result, we're now able to reach out into it and indeed plant things in it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's turning it into sort of like this this intellectual digital garden, and we're only just now seeing the fruits and vegetables of the seeds that we planted so long ago, trying to make sure that truth and freedom are not just things that people whisper under their breath for fear of being surveilled, for fear of being attacked by officialdom. Now it is out, bold and plain in their face, and they have to deal with this.
The Idle No More movement, which is an Indigenous solidarity movement that originated in Canada, grew purely through social media, and all of a sudden I am literally connecting with women of First Nations peoples in Canada, and we're having Skype conversations and we're exchanging information. That sort of global connection on Indigenous rights would not have been possible without the tool of social media. So, you know, it's really important in using it in a way that benefits us.
Now, I don't know about you, but I really don't like this John Key character, you know? He's quite dodgy. Has he ever told the truth about anything? I mean, is his name even John Key?
So I've been very clear in my opposition against what he says and does. And, you know, so that's no secret. but what his policies are flawed, his thinking is flawed, and I don't think he has an agenda that has anything to do with the well-being of all New Zealanders. So he needs to be out. We need to oust him yesterday, so urgently, in the 2014 votes. We need to be strategic and get this government out. Again, I'm not completely sold on what will, you know, on if we can replace with something far better, because at the moment we're still stuck with the National Labour sort of majority parties. I actually think we need a whole new direction, or we need to at least keep whoever steps into government and power and Prime Minister chair, we need to keep them really honest.
Well, the way to keep somebody honest is to keep them accountable and to make sure that they have consequences for their actions if they do misdeeds.
Yeah.
So, do you think that we should have a code of conduct for parliamentarians? For example, if they knowingly misrepresent their policy, they can be thrown out of parliament.
It's an interesting idea, and I've come from working for 10 years in a government department, and we were all accountable to code of conducts as state employees. But you're right, those same codes did not apply to elected ministers and elected representatives. And I, you know, most of the time, so it would be nice to see parties be establish their own code of conduct and say to each other, listen, we have a certain dignity and way of discussing issues that we want to adhere to as a collective group. I know that the Green Party, my party, have clearly identified those sorts of conducts, codes of conducts and agreements. But failing, you know, the part of the popularity of the national government, I have to say, is when you get outbursts from people like Minister Judith Collins, who actually knows that she's stamping on the mana and dignity of so many other people, but she also knows that that's popular. And so it has worked for her. And people have seen her as a hero as opposed to someone who actually just lacks intelligence and any demeanour and dignity at all. So that is unfortunate that the National Party have actually used that tactic. And then we have my other uncle, Tohinare, who often likes to throw out some real snide one-liners that can be quite you know, hating on particular groups.
Yeah, he's good friends with my cousin. He was at my grandfather's funeral.
Those are the tactics that this National Party government and ministers like to use, and, you know, unfortunately it has sometimes worked for them.
Yeah, well, again, this comes down to the easily manipulated population. I believe that we have been dumbed down over the years through public education, fluoride, mass media, copious quantities of stupidity causing cocktails, drinks, sugary stuff, and crap. Our diet is crap. Our information is crap. Yeah. Our education systems is crap. And this produces a population of willing and able slaves who are so capable of being manipulated that it's just not funny.
Yeah, we're certainly eroding the space that nurtures critical thinkers.
But we're expanding the space that allows people to be critical of people who can actually think.
Well, it's a sort of parallel process. You erode the space of nurturing critical thinkers, and at the same time, you build fear, you build misguided fear against certain groups of people as well. So that's been happening at the same time, and we just have to, we just have to wake up.
Exactly. All right. Marama Davidson, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Unfortunately, that's the end of the on-air thing. Marama, are you pleased to stay for a little bit longer and we can record some stuff off here?
Sure. Thank you.
All right, good. Because you did come in pretty late.
I did. I thought you wouldn't want me for more than 20 minutes, surely.
Oh, come on. You know, this isn't some kind of a massive public meeting where you've got 1,600 people or something, you know, waiting to hear the perspectives of all different kind of people. You know, you've got to get some different perspectives, and if you want different perspectives, give them enough time to speak to find out what that perspective really is.
Fair enough.
We'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen.
Bye.